I'm glad you're here. We're going to be in Luke 2 still this morning. And before we jump in where I am, I just wanted to say how glad I am to be here. How glad I am to be with you and that we get to talk about Jesus when he came, right? His birth. That is the most incredible moment that we can celebrate together as believers in Christ. I hope you would agree with that. I'm not going to ask anybody to agree with me. I hope that's what we believe. Last week, Chris, I want to just talk about a couple of things that Chris talked about. And remember, he talked about the great contrast that was taking place at the time, right? We have Jesus, the King of Kings, coming, and he was born humbly in a manger. Remember, Chris described that and talked about what that manger would have looked like, and it wasn't necessarily like whatever plush comedies we could imagine, right? It was dirty. It was humble. It didn't look like the greatest king of the world coming to the planet, but that's what was happening. And then in contrast to that, you had the Roman emperor who thought he was the king of the world, right? Who was celebrating himself as the king of the world. And the truth was that the humble baby in the manger was the king of the world. That was an incredible point to what Chris was talking about. And then this is my other, he referenced Kent Hughes last week, and he made this statement. It says, "We must never forget that this is where Christianity began and where it always begins, with a sense of need, a grace sense of one's insufficiency. Christ himself, setting the example, comes to the needy. He is born only in those who are poor in spirit." Remember when we walked through Matthew just a few weeks ago, we were talking about the poor in spirit, right? That should be all of us. That should be all of us in this place. When we read through the Sermon on the Mount, we should be understanding that we, in the sight of the King of Kings, are nothing. That we don't deserve anything, and yet he loves us so much that he offered himself for us. That is who Jesus came for. He didn't come for the proud. He came for the people that can set themselves aside and see him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, right? That's what we're here to celebrate today. That's what we're getting ready to continue to talk about. But when we read the Christmas story and we read through there, I'm going to talk about a couple of my favorite things here in a few minutes. But when we're reading in Luke 2 and we see this baby coming and we see the hardships that Mary and Joseph went through to get back to the city of David for Jesus to be born, and we read all those things, let us not forget that that was real, that actually happened. It's not just an animated movie. It's not just a small narrative that we read. It is truth in the history of this world that Jesus came. And he came for you and he came for me. And we get to celebrate that today. And we're going to read about the angels and their interaction with the shepherds and what that looked like today. And we're going to celebrate Jesus through those people's interactions. And all of this to be said at a time when Christmas, for I think if I asked, everybody in here could raise their hand. It can be maddening, maybe. It can be difficult for us to see past all of the hype of Christmas and see what it's really supposed to be about, right? It can be difficult, especially as a child, to see that. Especially as a child growing up in America, to see that, because we equate gifts with Christmas. We equate stuff with Christmas. We equate all of these things that I want my parents to get me. I'm not going to mention the things that my kids have asked for, but like shoes and hats and electronics and clothes and all kind of things and things and things. And then we wake up on Christmas Day, and sometimes if we don't see that stuff, we feel disappointed. We feel let down. But when we read Kent Hughes' description of where Christmas is, we've missed the point at that point, right? We've missed the point. Christmas at this time, I know that everybody in here has stress in their life, right? I know everybody in here has things happening in their life that makes it difficult for us to see past and see Christmas for what it really is. So today I'm going to ask that we can set that aside, that we can step aside from that and we can go, Jesus, I need Christmas from today forward to be all about you. Not about me, but about you. Not about the stuff, not about going to see lights, not about buying ornaments, not about hot cocoa or wassail or whatever. It's not about the stuff, but Jesus, let me set myself aside and see you for who you are, right? Let's listen to some passage from Casey out of the Luke Project in Luke 2 real quick, and then we'll keep going. Let's pray for just a second real quick. Jesus, thank you so much for today. We thank you that we get to come celebrate you. We thank you that we get to celebrate your birth. We thank you that even in our own stubbornness and in our own sin, God, that we turned away from you, but we thank you that you still saw us and you still wanted us. We thank you that you sent Jesus for us. God, I pray that when we leave here today, that we would be more like the shepherds, that we would walk away, and from this moment on, we would glorify you in all that we do, all that we say and do. God, may your name be made great. In your name we pray. Amen. And there's so much goodness in this passage. There's so many things happening. And before we really get going, I'm going to ask kind of a question, take a little bit of a poll here. But has anybody in here ever given an announcement for anything? Made an announcement, given out an announcement card, anything? A couple of people. So when Kristen and I got married, right, we made some announcements. We sent them out, right? Why? Because we wanted everybody to know what was going on, right? We wanted everybody to know about us. We wanted everybody to know what's happening. When we started having children, we gave out announcements, right? Why? Because we wanted people to be a part. We wanted people to celebrate with us. We wanted people to enjoy what was going on in our lives with us, right? Is anybody giving out an announcement? Anybody? A couple of people. Birthday announcements? Anybody? Pass those out, right? You want people to come to your party, so you're giving out a birthday, right? You want people to come. You want people to be a part. And we're going to talk today about the greatest announcement that was ever made. The greatest announcement that was ever given. Is anybody, I mean, I know we're all, I'm going to say we're all from Oklahoma as far as we're all in this room. But in this room right here, sorry for you guys online, you're not in this room. But locally, we've been seeing a lot right now, a big story happening in Norman, Oklahoma the last couple of weeks, right? Anybody aware of that at all? No? Tony doesn't have a clue right now. He's totally out. He does not enjoy my sports metaphors. OU hired a new football coach, right? And it was a big deal, right? It was all over the news, and I don't know if any of y'all paid attention or didn't pay attention, but people left their home at nighttime to go stand at an airport in Norman, Oklahoma to cheer for a guy who was coming to coach a football team, right? They changed plans of their life to go celebrate a guy who's coaching a football team. I'm not saying those people are wrong. I'm not saying those people are bad. It did not change my life in the slightest that evening. Okay? I didn't care. Tony and I could have been sitting there together and been fine. But we celebrate all kinds of things in this world, right? We spend money and money and money to proclaim things as being good and proclaim things as being great. Does anybody ever go to the movies? What do you see before the movie starts? You see trailers, you see announcements for more movies coming out, right? Millions and millions of dollars for things that are going to happen and things that are going to happen and things that are going to happen, and we get jacked up for them, right? I mean, let's be honest, we do, right? Just like the people left and went down to Norman, just like people gave up a Saturday to go watch OSU and Baylor play, right? Just like we do all of these things, we get jacked up about this stuff. I can't tell you how many conversations with students in our youth group when movies are coming out or new video games. I really don't know anything about video games, but I stand there like I care because I don't know anything about them, but they're excited about them. Why? Their life is being changed because of an announcement that's being made. And so today we're reading about the shepherds and the angels, these guys that were in a field looking over a flock, right? They had a pretty uneducated type job. They didn't need much training. It was something you didn't have to be brilliant to watch after the flock, okay? You didn't have to be brilliant to do it. Anybody could do it. Children do it. Children still do it today. I've seen it when I've been overseas. Children look after the flock at nighttime. Because it doesn't take a lot of skill. It doesn't take a lot of, I mean, it takes effort. That's not the right word. But it doesn't take skill to be out there. You don't have to have a master's degree to be a shepherd, right? Does that make sense? We don't have to do that. So there's these people that are out there that are kind of looked down upon a little bit. They're beneath everybody else. They're the lowly people. They're out in the field at night watching after the flock. And they're it's probably cool, not warm, right? They're not under a lot of protection. And they're standing out there together, and I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if they're playing cards. I don't know what they're doing. Doesn't really tell us in Scripture what they're doing. But they're out there watching over the flock, right? This is what they're doing. They're standing there, uneducated, lowly people that are not looked highly upon, and these are the ones that the angel appears to. That is an incredible moment in the history of this planet. The angel didn't come to where all the religious leaders were. He didn't come there. He didn't come to the Pharisees. He didn't come to the Sadducees and say, "Jesus is born." He didn't go to the Roman emperor and tell him, right? The guy who thought he was the king of the world, he didn't go to him and say, "The king of the world is here." He went to the people that were looked down upon. The angels appeared to the lowly, to the poor in spirit, to the meek, and they said that Jesus had come into the world. That is an incredible moment in the history of our planet. And when we're reading, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. Now, what? That's kind of an awkward passage there that we probably read over quickly. And I think last year when I talked about this, and maybe 2 years ago when Chris talked about it, or on and on, however far back we've gone, we're not talking about the precious moments, angels, right? We're talking about God's warrior angels that are there. And I don't know what they look like. You can read in Scripture and try to get some understanding of what they look like, but it sounds kind of crazy what they look like. There's not really a good description of what they look like with their wings and what shape they and all that. But we have this, we know that this angel appears, and it says that he appears with them. So let's just picture us standing here, and then all of a sudden somebody else is standing here. Is anybody going to be caught off guard by that? Anybody or just me? If somebody's standing right here and y'all don't pass out, I will be concerned. It just happened. The angel appeared. He was there. He was in their presence. They could physically see him. And it says the glory of God shone about him. All of God's glory was shining around. So not only does this guy appear, this angel, this heavenly being, but the glory of God is shining around him. Whenever we read in Scripture, what do we see in Moses' life whenever he sees the glory of God? What happens to Moses? His face shines because he saw it. He saw the glory of the Lord. He turned this way and he looked at his tribe, he looked at his people, and they saw his face shining. The glory of the Lord is not something that, it's not just a small passage. The glory and the power of God is shining forth from this angel, and these shepherds, these lowly people, these younger people, these uneducated people are blown away at this moment, right? What is the first thing that he tells them? Fear not, right? Don't be afraid. I would be afraid. I would be scared. I would not know what to expect if somebody all of a sudden is standing here, okay, and then all of a sudden all the glory of God is shining around him. I am going to be trembling. I'm going to be afraid. I'm not going to know what to do. Fear not. Fear not. Why? Why don't they need to fear? For behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. Now, has anybody, when I talked about those birth announcements, did anybody put that on your birth announcement for your kid? Anybody? No, nobody else did? Yeah, I didn't either. I mean, they're all pretty good. They're great. I love them. But I didn't put, behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. I didn't say that about my kids, but that's what's being said about the King of Kings coming as a baby. He is coming to the earth and he is bringing goodness for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This is an incredible moment in history, and we can see throughout the Old Testament that there's prophecy after prophecy about the Savior coming in the city of David, right? He's coming from the house and the lineage of David. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. He's going to be there. He's going to be there. And my whole life, I've looked forward to this moment. My whole life, this is what I'm seeing. I want to know when the King of Kings is going to be here. And these shepherds are in the field, and they're the first ones to hear this good news. That is mind-blowing for me. And for us, because this is a terrible example, but what it would be like is if we're all here and he came down to the nursery and told the kids, right? And then the kids come down here and tell us, right? All of us educated people who know all the scriptures, these young ones who don't know, who don't understand, who don't have the training that we have, and they come and tell us. That's what it would be like. It would be mind-blowing for us. We wouldn't know how to experience that. But for these shepherds who obviously believed, who obviously followed, they saw an angel with the glory of God all around him. What did they do? They were afraid, they were terrified, and then the angel spoke comfort to them, and then they found peace in that, and then they went to find the baby, right? They were like, I got to find this. I got to see this. I got to know what he's talking about. I need to find this baby. And we are here and we're in this place. And this announcement has been given a couple thousand years ago. And we are still searching. We're still searching for the Savior. And we mix up all of our holiday traditions into that search for Jesus. And we miss the point. We miss the point. That's scary. That's scary to think that man, we get all this stuff out and we climb on a roof and we put lights on and we put wreaths on and we put bows on and we put trees up and we do presents and we do gifts and we do all this stuff. And it almost is as though that Jesus is an afterthought to our Christmas. It's a scary thought. But Jesus should be the centermost picture of everything we do right now. Of everything we do right now. When we're going to the store and we're looking for something and people are on edge and they're testing and they don't know how to act, we should be the ones offering peace to them. Hey man, I get it. You're stressed out right now. But can I tell you about the hope that I have in Jesus Christ? That should be our role right now, right? We shouldn't be the one ripping the toy out of their hand saying, that's for me, right? That shouldn't be us. But we get mixed up. Couple of people, I guess, have felt that before. when the angels appear to the shepherd, it's the most incredible moment that I can think in human history. These shepherds who had heard stories about a Savior coming, they had heard stories about the Lamb of God coming, and they had offered sacrifices for their own sin after sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. Their families had offered sacrifices and their grandparents, everybody in their village is offering sacrifice and sacrifice and sacrifice because they want to be right with God. They want to be right with God. And now they are being told that the Holy Lamb of God has come. All of the sacrifices that have been made before are being fulfilled in this one sacrifice, right? All of the pictures of what have taken place are going to take place in this Lamb of God. And that is what the angels were proclaiming. That is what the angel was saying to them. And so like they're blown away, right? They see this guy. All of a sudden I'm calling him a guy, like I know. All of a sudden this angel is there, and he's there, and the glory is shining around him, and he tells them not to be afraid. The Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, like it didn't get weird enough yet, right? They didn't get freaked out enough yet. They're standing there, and it says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. So like they're terrified. They're just getting over that. And then in a matter of what we're seeing is just a couple of lines, the sky is full of them. And they're all saying the same thing. They're all saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased, right? So it's a terrifying moment for these young ones, for these uneducated ones, right? They got this crazy experience that's happening, and then it just takes a huge step. They see the army of God before them, and they're all saying the same thing. And they're saying it, they're singing it, they're chanting it, whatever it looks like. They're saying, glory to God in the highest. And this is the role of the angels. They are there to proclaim the goodness of God for all that he is, right? This is what they are doing. And this is what they are telling us is important. They're amazed at this baby that was born in the city of David. We should be blown away by that. It should be life-changing for us, this baby that was born. It should be so life-changing that we change everything that we do. Everything that we do, every aspect of my life should be changed. Not just a moment where I leave and I go down to Norman to experience a new coach. Not just a moment whenever I give something up to go to a game. Or not just a moment when I meet somebody famous and I'm blown away by that. Right? That's not what it is. It should be life-changing. Forever. Everything about me should be different because of the baby who came in the manger. Because He was the sacrifice that takes away the sins of the world. Right? You guys, if you've been here before, you've heard me say that all the time when I'm up here, right? Right? When we read in the Gospels and they say, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's what these shepherds are experiencing too. The angel is saying it to them. They're seeing and they're going to walk down and see the Lamb of God who's going to take away the sins of the world. That is an incredible moment in the history of the world. And the angels are proclaiming it. The angels are shouting it. They're shouting it from the rooftops. And if we read in Scripture, you can read when people come to know Jesus as the Savior of the Lord, their Lord and Savior, excuse me, when they see Jesus, when they run to Jesus, the angels rejoice with that person. Why? Because it is honoring and glorifying the King of Kings. They are celebrating because somebody has honored their King. Does that make sense? These angels, this is what they do. They walk around and they proclaim Him. And when you read back in Isaiah, you can see these passages where Isaiah sees God's glory, right? And he's afraid and he's like, no, woe is me. And he's terrified of what's going on here. And these angels are there and they're proclaiming Jesus as the Lord of Lords. And that should be our role as well. I talked last year, I know, about the angels and that they were these warriors and they were, and it's awesome to think about the angels, right? And what their role is. But the key, the crucial part is Jesus. The angels are not to be celebrated for whatever they look like. They're not to be celebrated for the fact that they enjoy Jesus, for that they point to Jesus. They should not be celebrated. They are telling us to point all of our heart, all of our mind, everything about us to Jesus. Jesus is the key to everything. I had a friend in college, and we were going around, we were speaking at some different places, and one of his favorite things to say was, I found the answer. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. It doesn't matter what the question is. It doesn't matter. Jesus is the answer. And I know that sounds really, it just doesn't sound very intelligent. It really doesn't. Doesn't sound intelligent to say that Jesus is the answer to fix my marriage. It doesn't sound like very intelligent to say Jesus is the answer when my kids are being terribly disobedient. It doesn't sound like the answer when I say that my job is miserable right now, to say Jesus is the answer. But whenever we can take our hearts and we can focus it upon Jesus, then all of that stuff becomes secondary. All of that other stuff doesn't matter anymore because Jesus matters. Because He is the King of the Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Not Caesar Augustus, right? His trumped up idea of himself wasn't it. Jesus was, the humble baby born in a manger. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. I want to take just a sidestep here and note, glory to God in the highest. This is what all of the heavenly hosts are saying. This is what they are saying. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. Now that's a really sobering statement right there. Peace on earth. But you know what? It's not peace on earth for everybody. It's not peace for everybody. It's only peace for those who know Jesus. And we are here today, and I'm certain that there are people in here who don't know that, who don't understand that peace, who don't have that peace, who don't know that peace. But the glory of God shining in front of you, if you do not know Him, that's not going to be peaceful. That's not going to be peaceful. That would be miserable. Why? Because God doesn't like sin, right? He doesn't like disobedience. And so if I am here and I'm proclaiming Jesus, but my life doesn't really look like it, and the glory of God comes before me, then I can't be in His presence, right? And so peace on earth with whom He is pleased. So how do we please Him? How do we honor Him? How do we acknowledge Him? How do we look to Him as the King of Kings? And it starts with a poor in spirit attitude. It starts with a meekness. It starts with me seeing God as the King of Kings, not putting myself up upon that throne, but seeing Him as the King of Kings and allowing Him to take and cleanse my heart. Right? Jesus, wash me. Clean me, make me whole, make me right. And whenever You make me right, I'm going to honor You with all that I do. With all that I do. What did the shepherds do? When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go home and sit down. Right? No! Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. All who heard it. So it wasn't like they just told a couple of people. They're telling everybody, right? They're telling people because something incredible happened in their life. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. That is an incredible moment in the story of these shepherds, right? And it doesn't tell us how many, doesn't tell us if there were one, two, five, whatever. Doesn't tell us the number, but it tells us that their lives were changed. And because of the change that took place, they glorified God in all that they did, right? So we are here, and I'm going to assume that most of the people in this room have been to a Falls Creek or a Super Summer or a church event of some sort. And we would all stand up in this room and we would say, yeah, I've been changed. Yeah, I've been changed. Yeah, I've been changed. But am I glorifying God in all areas of my life still? Am I doing what these shepherds did? Is my life drastically different today like it was at that moment when I said Jesus was my King? And if not, I need to evaluate that. If not, I need to look down inside of my heart and see what's going on. Because the shepherds were changed. They saw the glory of God. And we are in this room and we are proclaiming Him. We're singing songs. We're singing, King of Heaven, come down. King of Heaven, come now. We're begging Him to come. We're asking Him to come. Is my heart ready for Him to come? That's the question today. The question is, am I ready for all of the glory of God to be shown into who I am? Right? That is the question. This is what the angels were singing about. This is what the angels were proclaiming. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. This is what they're saying. They're telling us that we should be in awe of who God is every moment of every day. And at this time of year, we take a time and we just single it out and we say, this is for Jesus, right? When I was a kid, I feel like it was like 2 weeks before Christmas maybe 3 weeks that we got a Christmas tree and does it, but now it's like 6 months before Christmas. We're decorating for Christmas and we're doing all this stuff for Christmas. Why? Are we getting so caught up in all the stuff that we're missing the true point? Or are we doing that stuff 6 months before because we're so excited about who Jesus is? Why are we doing it? Why do we decorate? Why do we give gifts? Why do we? Because we're honoring the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And this should be our goal at this time. The shepherds were out in the field standing there, and the angel of the Lord appeared before them. The glory of God shone about him, right? And I've shared it before when you watch the Peanut story, right? He drops his blanket when he's reading this part, right? Why? Because he feels peace. He feels comfort at the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords coming in his heart, coming in his life, taking who he is. So we are here and we're going to ask the question, Jesus, is my heart right with you? That's where it all begins. That's where Christmas begins. That's what the Kent Hughes phrase that Chris had last, that's where it starts, right? It all starts with Jesus. It all starts with Jesus. And if Jesus is not the start, then we've missed it. We're not on board. We're not on board with God yet, and we got to get there. We've got to get there, and we've got to use this time to celebrate Him, to proclaim Him as the King of Kings, as the Lord of Lords. We need to be like the shepherds. When we've seen Jesus, we walk away different. We walk away different. Our face shines differently. Our countenance shines differently because we've seen the glory of God in our hearts. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to pray, and I'm going to ask you to ask God to change your heart today. Everybody in this room, even me, change my heart. Make me more like you, Jesus. This should be our prayer. Change my heart and set me aside, and may I see you and be more like you. Jesus, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you that you sent the baby to the manger. God, we thank you that you chose the humble, the lowly, the uneducated, so that we can see that this gift is open for all of us. The most lowly in the room, God, that you care about us. God, you want us to be different. You want us to be different, not for our name to be great, not so that we can look good, not so that you are good. God, may we glorify you in our hearts today. May we glorify you. May this announcement that the angels gave a couple of thousand years ago, God, may it still ring true today, and may we be your hands and your feet and your mouth that take it to this dark world. God, you are so good. You offer us hope. And I pray that every moment of our lives that we would proclaim you as the King of Kings and you as the Lord of Lords. God, may you be pleased in our lives. God, don't let this be about us, but let this be about you. And God, if I don't know you, if anyone in this room does not know you, if anyone who hears this message does not know you, God, may today be the day that they get that right, God. Because you are coming again. You are coming again, and all of your glory will be shown to all people, God, and we beg that people would be changed for you. God, we beg that hearts would be changed. In your name we pray.